Is it sitting on your shelf collecting dust? Was it a token that you received from your Sunday school when growing up? Today, on After the Sunrise, Pastor Daryl talks about the Bible, God's holy word, and the importance that it should play in your everyday life. Today's program is called The Number One Bestseller.
Hello, and welcome to After the Sunrise. My name is Pastor Daryl Cardwell from the North Salem Church of God. There's a story of a young man who was visiting his grandparents. On their coffee table was the old family Bible. There were inscriptions and memories written in the margins, genealogies and family histories. There were some special family papers from previous years. The young man asked his grandma. He said, "Grandma, how old do you think this Bible is?" She said, "It's at least 100 years old, if not older." The young man continued to flip through the pages when all of a sudden a leaf fell out from the Bible that was pressed between the pages. The young man spoke up, "Grandma, I think this Bible is a little older than what you think." "Well, why is that, honey?" "I think I just found Adam's underwear." Do you realize that the Bible, God's holy word, is the number one best-selling book of all time? The King James Version of the Bible has a total of 66 books. There are 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 books in the New Testament. The longest chapter of the Bible is Psalm 119, and the shortest chapter is Psalm 117. The longest book is Psalms, and the shortest book is 2 John. There's a total of 1,189 chapters in the Bible, and there's a total number of verses of 31,102. The longest verse in the Bible is found in the book of Esther, found in chapter 8, verse 9. This is what it says. "At once the royal secretaries were summoned. On the 23rd day of the third month, the month of Sivan, they wrote out all of Mordecai's orders to the Jews and to the satraps, governors, and the nobles of the 127 provinces stretched from India to Cush. These orders were written in the script of each province and the language of each people, as also to the Jews in their own script and their language." I have to admit, I've never read that verse from the pulpit. I can imagine how long the chapter actually is. The shortest verse in the Bible is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept. Two words. Jesus wept. John 11:35. As I was preparing today's message, I was looking through the internet to see if I could find some information about the Bible. And I came across this pretty interesting story, and I'd like to read it to you. The story said, "Bible in a pocket saves a man's life." This came from Dao Tang, which is a part of Vietnam. This is what the story said. "Since arriving in Vietnam, Sergeant Stuart Smith of Norfolk, Virginia, a member of the Recon 2nd Battalion, 12th Infantry, has carried a Bible and was glad that he had it during a recent attack on the forward base camp of the battalion about 112 kilometers northeast of Saigon. The 3rd Battalion, 25th Infantry Division, this soldier was moving forward to reinforce the position of the perimeter, which was under heavy fire. I had just started to move when I was hit and knocked down to the ground," related Smith. "Lying on the ground, Smith could not find no wound, so I moved to the forward line of the perimeter. The next morning I found out why the bullet hadn't done any damage," continued Smith. "Luckily, it had been stopped by the Bible that I always carry. Ironically enough, the bullet had penetrated to the page which had the passage of Paul the Apostle to the church in Colossians. It said, 'We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you.' No doubt, Smith will never forget to give thanks and will carry his Bible for the remainder of his tour. I thought that was pretty interesting that the Bible actually stopped the bullet that hit him in the line of fire. I have about 8 different questions I'd like to kind of fire at you this morning, but I'm going to share scriptures along with each one of the questions. What does the Bible say about itself? In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Living and active word. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And then finally, Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you." I've talked about these verses a few times, about learning scripture and where we should apply them, about putting them into our hearts. When I was at Oregon Bible College in Oregon, Illinois, studying for the ministry, we received a message in our mailboxes that we were supposed to meet at a certain designated area. And when we got there, we were put into vans and we were taken away. We went to a secret place, and to this day I don't know where this place was. But as we were gathered together, all of a sudden there was gunfire. It was a little scary. And what had happened is this, that some of the older students had got together and they made this plan. And the plan was to see how much of the scriptures that each of us really knew. And we thought, you know, this might be the end of the world. Maybe a secret message had come along. And as we got together, there's about 30 of us in this Quonset hut, and we started sharing the scriptures with one another. It's amazing the scriptures that we came up with, understanding and knowing and learning. "I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you." What does the Apostle Paul tell Timothy? Well, first of all, we have to realize who Timothy was. Timothy was a young man who Paul considered to be a son in the faith. And Timothy traveled with Paul on a couple of his missionary journeys. And Timothy was left in the city of Ephesus to actually pastor the church that was there. But, you know, Ephesus wasn't an easy place to preach or to teach, because there were pagan idol-worshipping churches there. There were the gods of Diana, a very sexual god. And she was prominent as far as the beliefs of the people that were there. But Timothy, he stayed there, and he preached to the church, and he worked well, trying to get out the gospel that was given to him. Paul said this to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth." The Bible is the word of truth. And we'll see in a little bit later in one of the other sections about why the scriptures are truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, Paul continues to write to Timothy. He says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths." Folks, it's happening right now today. People are grasping at just about anything to get through life. A few years ago, it was a psychic hotline. Call up the number and a psychic would tell you about your future. People used to play with Ouija boards or tarot cards. And all these things that were not of God, but that probably Satan put them together. And it's amazing that those things were in the past, but there's things today too that people are searching, instead of searching in the Word of God, to find out the help that they need to get through this life. What is the Word of God used for? In 2 Timothy chapter 3 it says, all Scripture is God-breathed. The King James Version says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's useful for four things: teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And why? So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped to do every good work. All Scripture is God-breathed. The Scriptures are God-breathed, but we have to go back to the Old Testament too, when God spoke. When He said, let there be light, there was light. When He talked about hanging the stars and the moon and the sun in the sky, He spoke and it happened. When He created man, it happened. God's Word is what He says to us, and fortunately, we have written Word today that we continue to go to study and learn about God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the future in the kingdom of God. What does Jesus say about the Word of God? Jesus, in His high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, said, sanctify them by the truth. Your Word is truth. And He goes on in John chapter 5, He says, and the Father who sent me has Himself testified concerning me. You have never heard His voice, nor seen His form, nor does His word dwell in you, for you do not believe in the one that He has sent. You diligently seek the Scriptures, because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about me, Jesus said, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. The Word of God is truth. It doesn't lie. It's never lied, and it will not lie in the future. The Scriptures were given by God, and we need to praise and glorify Him because of that Word. What does God say about His own Word? In Isaiah chapter 55, it says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making a bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and the bread for the eater, so it is with my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The Word of God will not return empty unto Himself. When God spoke, things happened. And the Word does not return back without some kind of purpose. The King James Version says that the Word of God does not return void back unto Him. And have you ever heard of the people called the Bereans? The Bereans are found in Acts chapter 17. It says, now the Bereans were a more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness, and they examined the Scriptures every day to see if what the Apostle Paul said was true. How often did the Bereans search the Scriptures? Every day. Reading them, studying them, to see if what Paul, the Apostle, was sharing with them. We could take a great example from the Bereans. Wouldn't it be great if we were in the Scriptures every day? And then finally, I'd like to read to you a portion of Scripture It comes from the book of Luke, and the time frame is after the resurrection. There's a couple people who are walking down the road, going off to the road to Damascus, and this is what happened. Jesus said, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets that have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and enter into His glory? And the Scripture says, beginning with Moses and the prophets, Jesus began to explain to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning Himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if He was going to go further. But they strongly urged Him, please stay with us, for it is nearly evening, day is almost over. So He went into their home and stayed with them. And when He is at the table with them, He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked to us on the road, and as he opened the scriptures to us?" See, Jesus knew the scriptures. As a boy, he probably studied in the synagogue and understood what was given to him as the scriptures. Now, as after his resurrection, these two people who were on the road, you know, after the resurrection, because they were sad, well, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus encountered them. He met them where they were. And then he had to share with them once again about his death, burial, and his resurrection. You see, the Bible is a fabulous book. In the Old Testament, we find prophecies concerning Jesus. We knew about the virgin birth from Isaiah the prophet. We knew where Jesus was going to be born because of the prophet Micah. We knew about the crucifixion by the description that was given to us in Isaiah 53. We know that there's going to be a coming kingdom because the Bible has told us this. In the Old Testament, it's prophesied. We get more prophecies in the New Testament. We also learned about the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, what we call when he arrived in the city, riding on the donkey. We knew about that because of the prophet Zechariah. It was prophesied to us about that, the triumphal entry. Jesus told us that he was going to come back. I have to believe that this is actually going to happen. Why? Well, Jesus told us in the Old Testament, he told us in the New Testament about his death and his burial and his resurrection. Well, what happened? Jesus died, he was placed into the grave, and 3 days later, just as he said, he'd be raised back to life. Now, when Jesus says that I will come back again, I have to believe that that's going to happen. And I know that it's not going to be long before that does happen. Jesus has never lied to us before, and he will never, ever lie to us now. The Bible is a spiritual guidebook for our lives. We find life and happiness. We find warnings and concerns. The best part of the Bible is that we know what the outcome for the believers is. The outcome for the believer is life eternal in the kingdom of God. But on the other hand, we know the doom of the unbelievers in the lake of fire. I want to encourage you to take out that old dusty Bible that's sitting on your shelf, dust it off, and start to read it again. You know, no matter how many times I read through the scriptures, there's always something fresh and new. I always glean something once again from God's word. I pray that God will enlighten you as you search the scriptures daily like the Bereans did to find out if what is said is true. I hope each week that you gain just a little bit more from God's word, the scriptures, the Bible, after the sunrise.
Today on After the Sunrise, Pastor Darrell shared with us the importance of God's Word in our everyday lives. Are you enjoying After the Sunrise? We would like to hear from you. Send us a letter to After the Sunrise, 13263 4th Road, Plymouth, Indiana, 46563. Or email us. Our email address is afterthesunrise@mchsi.com. Be sure to read the Pastor's Corner in the Plymouth Pilot News on Saturday mornings. This article is on the Faith page. Why not come and worship with us today? Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 and our worship service is at 10:30. Our church family would love to meet your family. As always, we look forward to sharing with you again next week after the sunrise.
After the Sunrise is the radio ministry of the North Salem Church of God.